CliffCentral.com.
George is here on behalf of the Auto Central crew. George, interesting week in cars.
Yeah, it has been indeed.
I saw some of my car friends at a nice new launch for the BMW X4, which made me somewhat just jealous, really. Down at the Oyster Box.
Was it the Oyster Box or was it the X4?
It's both. See, because this is what these fancy car companies do, right? They do everything right. So they can't just go like, here's our really great car, here's a city lodge. Everything is on the same level. So whenever they do these events, everything represents what the brand's about. Yeah. So yeah, I get jealous. I used to go to a few events here and there, but I'm not into the cars like I used to be. Yeah. But what else has been happening apart from these nice things that I didn't get invited to?
You're not bitter at all.
Not at all.
I think I'm going to arrange something for Ben just to whet his appetite or stem his disappointment.
Both sounds good.
Yeah, I think so. You may or may not have read that Auto Trader has now officially become the title sponsor for the South African Car of the Year.
That's a very, very big deal. So, I mean, this is an institution, this Car of the Year thing.
Absolutely an institution. So if you don't, I mean, if the listeners don't understand what Car of the Year is, let's rewind a little bit. What is the Guild? Mm-hmm. So the Guild is a collection, or not collection, a group of journalists in the country, motoring journalists in the country, that have come together, formed a body, almost like an industry body. And, you know, Lawrence can probably unpack this better than what I can, but it's an industry, because he's one of the journalists that belongs to this guild. It's an industry body of motoring journalists, and they got together back in the 50s, I think it was. When did they get together?
I think it was the early 80s.
Early 80s, okay.
Late 70s, early 80s. Early 80s.
Okay, so they got together many, many years ago, and they formed this body called the Guild. Yep. And out of this body called the Guild rose this competition called the South African Car of the Year, which was modeled on International Car of the Year. The one in Europe. And so this South African Car of the Year has been going for, I don't know about the 80s, because I believe it's been going for 57 years.
Yeah, the guild was formed in that time.
Yeah.
I know, it does feel like it's been around a lot longer than me.
Yeah, it's very, very long. Anyway, an Auto Trader's heritage of 26 years, and I think the marriage of these two entities, if you want to call it, is a good thing for the industry, because South African Car of the Year, one of the things that we're going to bring to the party as Auto Trader is our ability to market.
Yeah.
And try and add some value to making sure that the consumer gets involved, because that is the element that I think is the future of the South African Car of the Year, is getting the consumer involved in voting on which car is their favorite, and then alongside that, the journalists and the way they vote and judge the cars.
I mean, it's a lovely balance, because you've got the integrity. I mean, as journalists go, the motor industry does have a lot of integrity. I mean, these are people who've been around. Of course, there's a lot. I mean, journalism in general, we talk about in the show right now, is that a lot of it's clickbaity crap. Motor journalism. You can't fake news a car.
Yeah,
it's either really good or it's not. You know, you can do the.
The Oyster Box stuff.
You will be found out. Okay? Yeah. You'll be found out if you're taking a bit of a take in motor. But also, like, because of the nature of cars in this country, of course, they've been such a massive part of our lives. The consumer, everyone's passionate about cars.
Yeah.
People that just drive cars. They're like, these are the like, see, I had a story earlier, actually, about how these people tracked down this car of, like, 12 years ago that their father had to sell. But it was so dear to him, but because of finance, he had to sell it. They tracked it down and bought it again.
Yeah.
So cars are more than just like vehicles. They really are hopes and dreams and all kinds of things for us.
Exactly. So we're really excited to be the title sponsor for the longest standing, biggest car, competition that South Africa's ever had. And Lawrence is absolutely right. The South African Car of the Year started in 1986, but the Guild is 57 years old.
The Guild's been around at the competition. And actually, one of the guys that writes for us was on the very first Car of the Year. We shall call it the adventure, because you can ask Stuart about it, and he'll tell you some pretty crazy stories about what the Car of the Year was actually like back in the 80s.
Yeah, Stuart doesn't look that old, but... Stuart's been around the block. He does Ignition TV stuff as well. Eh?
Correct.
Yeah.
Sorry, just before you go on, Eddie Eckstein was the guy who played the bats.
There we go. Sorry.
Kind of similar. Gasper. Kind of similar in shape.
Yes.
And bravado.
Exactly. Thanks for clearing that up, Ben. Moving on from a South African Car of the Year, Aston Martin has brought out a DB11 that will make you feel like James Bond. This car, out of the factory, is armor plated. It is hijack proof and doesn't weigh hundreds of thousands of kilograms like a tank does. Mm-hmm. So they've got protective armor on this car that doesn't decrease the performance of this incredible Aston Martin.
What have they used for that?
They've used a lightweight armoring, which could be a combination of different materials. I mean, it doesn't say what the material is made of, but all they say is that it's made of lightweight armoring and is anti kidnapping and can withstand handguns, kidnapping, carjacking, and even the theft of valuables out of your car.
Wow, I'd love to see how they do their NCAP 5-star rating. Whoa. Like, how do you test? How do you test that? Like, where do you go? What do you shoot it with? That would be fascinating.
I don't think much can stop an AK-47, to be honest. But a handgun, as long as it can stop a handgun, I suppose.
Because there's an asterisk on that armor plating. I mean,
yeah,
rifles, missile launchers.
Yeah, you're not going to stop those things. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it says composite material fitted inside the doors and is a level 4 certified ballistic glass on the windows. So who knows? Maybe this will become the thing of the future. And they reckon that the slight increase in weight doesn't impact the performance of this DB11.
That's incredible, because sometimes you just still want to look cool while being sought after by criminals.
While being sought after. It just sounds like an oxymoron. Looking cool, being sought after by criminals.
I don't want to consider being sought after by criminals in the first place.
And then Scotland is doing something brand new. They don't have enough police resource to be vigilant enough against speeding, people that speed. So what they've done is they've roped in the community and given them the ability to get trained and arm them with speed cameras, you know, those radar speed camera things.
Wow.
So this is in Edinburgh, Scotland, and the Scottish government is endorsing this, and civilians can get involved in stopping speeding.
What do you think about this?
It could be a little bit I don't know. Sometimes you get civilians that get vigilante-ish.
Yes, that was my first thought, yeah.
I particularly don't... I like the concept of these... I mean, and you get them in South Africa, the concept of these police forums. I don't know if you've come across these forums.
Oh, yeah, like CPFs, community policing forums, yes.
But I've heard of horror stories where these civilians become part of these associations and then they become vigilantes. Mm. I mean, in my particular area, a couple of people have been pulled over by these CPF guys and for driving recklessly. That's not their job. Mm. You know, driving recklessly is not acceptable.
Quite subjective.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think what they're going with here is that you're literally getting a piece of technology that's governed in a certain way. You can't tamper with it.
Yes.
So it's not going to be like, well, you were doing 85 miles an hour because I said so.
Exactly.
So there's a fair amount of control here.
Yeah.
But then it begs the question, like, then why are there not just more fixed speed things or that expensive?
Well, I mean, I would imagine that laying the infrastructure for those fixed speed cameras could be more expensive versus a handheld device.
You're going to get Fergus coming out of the pub. He's just going to be aiming the gun at drivers for 3 hours on a Friday night.
Maybe.
Doing his community bit.
maybe. And then, exposure to cool cars. So back in the 1980s, it was pretty common occurrence for TV shows and comic books to be aimed at children, focused on do-gooders and then also evil gangs of baddies. And usually cars were part of those stories. I don't know if you remember anything from your childhood, Ben.
A little bit here and there.
You know, I suppose in the next, in the last 10 or 15 years, it's been Transformers.
Yeah.
But, you know, then we got the movie Cars. You remember the movie Cars?
Of course. That's probably my most recent memory.
And, you know, so we pulled out some old pictures of, you know, kiddies things, which included cars and trucks everywhere. And do you remember Herbie?
Of course, yeah.
Who doesn't remember Herbie?
There was the Herbie, the original Herbie, the Herbie reboot with Lindsay Lohan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Knight Rider.
Of course, Knight Rider.
MacGyver.
MacGyver. MacGyver wasn't so carsy, was he?
No, he wasn't so carsy. But
like Magnum, of course.
Yes. Magnum PI, the Ferrari.
Was a biggie. Yeah.
James Bond.
The A-Team's AMC truck, whatever. Was it AMC?
Yes, it wasn't. Yes, the A-Team, you're right.
Yeah, that was pretty iconic.
Yeah.
And then James Bond was probably
the Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just the way that those cars were so essential to him.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Yes. Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, you got it. Dukes of Hazzard. Well done. Well done. You said the A-Team, Magnum PI.
Even,
Fast and the Furious in recent times.
Well, then, of course, Fast and Furious. I mean, that's a show in itself.
How many of them are there now?
I think we're going into nine.
Nine.
Next one's nine.
Next one's nine. Okay.
Lawrence approves, so therefore it's right.
And then very lastly, and very sadly for me, but you know what? He's done a bloody good job. Lewis Hamilton won Singapore over the last weekend. And
yeah, you kind of feel that's it.
Yeah, I think
mathematically, obviously. Yeah. But you know, you made a good point recently of saying that Ferrari had such a great chance. Mm. Tactics weren't exactly; they were just all over the place. They've squandered another prime opportunity to do this. And it was almost like the feeling of inevitability. It started off so good and then this happens. And then Hamilton's just picking up the pieces.
He is. He's you know, the one thing Hamilton is doing in a car that's slower than Ferrari is he's being consistent, he's level head, and he's just focused.
And that's just it. Like, he just gets the points. This is what happens with great champions. They know what to do to win.
Yeah.
They know on their day they can beat everybody, but they also know what to do just to beat people.
Exactly.
Because they've got to make all the running. They've got to take all the risks. And he's going to go, yeah, come at me. And you'll just do it.
And he'll just do it. And if it doesn't, I mean, he does. I've seen him get all emotional and stuff, but he doesn't let that get the better of him.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of navigates through it and then goes and does what he did in Singapore.
Yeah, so where is the next one, George?
Where is the next one? I've been away for the last week.
I watched a fascinating thing, actually. We'll play it next week for you. The logistics of moving F1 around and how between air freight, buses, and big tankers. You think, you've got the Canadian Grand Prix, you've got Singapore, you just mentioned now.
Yeah.
You've got the UAE, you've got South America. Obviously, Europe's pretty easy because they can transport those buses quite simply overnight. But the turnaround times, and it's just crazy what goes on. So you go from Europe and suddenly you're in Asia.
Yeah.
But an F1 team is a small city. How many teams are there? There's then the racetrack, and then there's everything else. It is mind-boggling how
they move the stuff around.
Dakar is the same.
I would imagine, yeah.
I was in the South America at the beginning of the year, and it is a small city. And when they finish up the stages in Paracas, overnight, that entire city that took up the entire side of a sand dune is just gone. And they've moved on to another country.
But that's just it, taking up the side of a sand dune. It's like you're plugging into a town. You're literally plugging into an area.
They actually grade roads. They have water trucks that keep the dust down.
Unreal.
Access. There's even intersections. And like, you know, it's on the fourth intersection. That's where the little shop is to buy your food and...
I wonder if they create names for those roads they grade.
I think they actually do, but they're all in Spanish, so I can't pronounce any of them.
Next Formula One race is Russia, and 28th of September.
Okay. Yeah. Is that also in Sochi? Everything's in Sochi.
Don't know.
George,
if it's Sochi, they'll take it over.
Is that a wrap for the week, George?
That's the wrap for the week.
All right. So, of course, if you want to hear more of George, 9 a.m. Mondays here at cliffcentral.com, him and the Auto Central team. And there was actually a story I forgot to mention earlier in the sport about the Russians. They've somehow managed to get their ban from WADA overturned, despite not doing the last two things that were required of them. Firstly, admitting things and saying sorry. Secondly, turning over the evidence from their lab in Moscow. They didn't do either. but they managed to be
the Russians.
The Russians. Yeah, yeah.
You've got not to be scared. They don't need to apologize.
If they had the chance to do something nicely and above board, or the chance to do things in a Russian sense and kind of dodgy, they will make it rain a number two every time. George, thanks so much for joining us. You're Lawrence, welcome. Thanks for the info. And we should actually talk about the Dakar sometime. Because will it ever come back to Africa?
They're talking about 2024, north of our borders, though, but within driving distance.
Because remember, as a young lad, I went to the end of the Paris-Le-Cap, which was basically, they didn't go to Dakar, they just kept going to Cape Town.
Yeah.
Well, they're
and that was amazing to see those cars.
The talk around the water cooler is Namibia.
Okay.
That'll be cool.
Over into Botswana and back again. Because, well, really far north is just too dangerous, and South America, as far as I understand it, they're having a little bit of trouble with the finance of crossing three countries.
Yeah.
So, yeah, here's hoping.
Bring it. Bring it. Sia, anything else you want to add before we get into the weekend?
Dusted, long weekend time. Have a good weekend.
CliffCentral.com.